For those of you who are here Wednesday night, you're already familiar with me. My name is Mark Jenkins. I'm not Gary and I'm not Pastor Dave. So I'll let you in on just a little bit of the things that's happened to me since then. Not much, but just a little bit. Do the attacks come? Yeah, the attacks come. And it wasn't something that was new to us. We've been in the middle of some things for quite a while now. But it was interesting after Wednesday night, after teaching here and talking about the life of joy. As you walk out the door and you get hit with the life that doesn't seem like much joy at all. But regardless of that, God has something that He wants to say to us. And it was funny, after preaching on Wednesday night, God was still giving me things about this message. And I thought, well, that'll be nice, you know, down the road sometime, that'll be something to minister on. So Tim calls me yesterday and he said, "Are you done with that message? Is God done with that message?" The thing is, when he called me, it was right in the middle of just everything going crazy. And it's like, what's the answer, God? And I said, "Tim, I'm going to have to get quiet for a little while and find out." And I did. And the Holy Ghost told me, he said, "If you don't do this, you're going to miss me." So I don't want to miss the Holy Ghost. And I know that what he has to say this morning is there's a warning at the end of this. So I want you to pay attention. There's a warning at the end of the message. How many of you have just been living life, you know, been going along, minding your own business, trying to do the message that we preach here, and all of a sudden your world gets turned upside down? And it doesn't seem like it takes very long. And the next thing that you know, everything seems to have just gone crazy. Well, the warning involves that. So I want you to pay attention. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you this morning. And not only be a hearer, but be a doer. Because that's what I've been sent here to tell you, is here is what we need to be doing to get ready. And I'll just tell you this right now. While I was working last night, and doing something very unspiritual, putting soda pop on the shelf so that you can buy it. Very unspiritual. You can be doing something very unspiritual, but at the same time be doing something very spiritual. So I'm praying in tongues, I'm listening to the Holy Ghost, putting soda pop on the shelf. Okay? Just what you all do, you know? And all of a sudden, it's like suddenly, and this drops into my spirit, and I know it's God. There are some people in the sound of my voice, whether you're here right now or you're going to be listening to this via the internet later. Either you're in the process right now of your world turning upside down. And believe me, I know this is the Holy Ghost. Or you're about to. You're about to. It's one or the other. And I'm not saying this for everyone. But I'm saying this for you, if it applies. Either you are in the midst of your world turning upside down, or it's not too far in the future. And this is the warning for you. Listen to this message. Do the message. Not because I'm saying it, but because it is the message that works. It's the message that's going to propel you through the battle into the victory. When I spoke here Wednesday night, I'm going to recap just a little bit, because I need to lay some groundwork for what I'm going to say. As I told you the other night, our year last year was a pretty rough year. I was going along just minding my own business, doing the message. I was a district manager for a merchandising company. I had, you know, people that reported to me. I had responsibility, had a fairly large territory. And this opportunity came for me to accept a new job, better money, prayed about it. And I heard the voice of God say, "This is the direction that I want you to go in." Now remember that, because that's a key. I took the job. It was managing an apartment complex. Had no idea what that was all about. They promised all kinds of things. "Oh, we'll train you. It'll be great. You'll love it." And 3 weeks into it, I got a phone call after working my heart out for 3 weeks. Got a phone call on a Friday evening. "We don't need you anymore." Well, that came as quite a surprise. They fired me after 3 weeks. Here I left a well-paying job, responsibility. 3 weeks into this new opportunity, I get fired. My first question was, "God, where in the world are you in all of this?" I prayed, I felt your leadership, and here I am in what looks to be a prison. Just like what Paul was in a prison, I felt like I was in a prison. When you get fired like that, it does everything to you emotionally and in all other ways. It's right then that you find out what you really believe. I pressed into God. It was from April the 24th until September the 22nd that I went with unemployed. And it was not fun. But in the midst of that, when all kind of difficulties are hitting you right in the face, it's how you respond. I decided to press into God. I went in as much as I could to find out, okay, what do you have for me? Because see, years ago, and I say years ago, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I pretty much put on the shelf any thought about preaching. We had been pursuing ministry for 10 years prior to that. It got to the place that was, everything looked so impossible. And it was, and you feel like you've beat your head against the wall so much. And you finally say, enough. And that's what I had done. Believe me, when I'm standing up here ministering, it's like a glove on your hand is how it feels. It's so natural to me. But the opposition to do it was so strong, I couldn't deal with it. So I went into the world system, and I excelled. They put me in management, district manager, regional manager. Had a lot of responsibility at one time. But what's important is, we're here for a reason. We have one path that we have to follow. It's not a multiple choice here. It's not, I think I want to do this because I like this. It pays a lot of money. It's prestigious. That's not our choice. When we accept the Lordship of Jesus, we surrender all the other choices. And that's something that's very difficult for most people to grasp. They want to keep their individuality. They want to keep that right to decide. You surrender that at the cross. And you accept what His path for your life is. So speeding up just a little bit. So last year was rather difficult. But in the midst of that difficulty, God showed up. And he spoke to me. And he spoke to me quite a lot. And I found out that he's always been wanting to speak. It's just me not having the time to hear him, not making the time to listen to him, to hear what he's saying. So when he speaks to me, I record it, I type it out, because I want to have a record of what he's saying. So on September the 20th, at this point I had already found employment. On September 20th, this is what he's speaking to me. My message to you today is simple. You don't love others as I love you. It's not a statement of condemnation, it's a statement of fact. In order for you to stand before my people and proclaim my word to them as my representative in the earth, I require that you love them. It's not possible for you to love them anywhere close to the measure that I do, but at this moment, you're not even close. That was rather difficult for me to hear at the time. But I've found out since then it was very true. I was more interested in myself than I was in other people. And to a degree, that's still true, because I'm still in the process of attacking that part of me that's self. At the end of it, he gives his solution to this. What I'm asking for you, Mark, I'm asking you to offer yourself at a higher level than just words. This will require you to offer your flesh on my altar through fasting. I know you have known for a while that I have wanted you to fast. I also know what your holdup is. I am here for you. I want you to do this, but I cannot force you to do this. All I can tell you now is that you will not regret whatever fasting you're able to do. I will be there for you every step of the way. You do not have to worry about doing this alone. When you call to me, I will be there. I will help you to succeed. The last part of this was probably the hardest thing that I've ever heard. It was all in love, but it was difficult to hear. All I ask is that you try. Please try. When you hear that on the inside of you, when you hear God asking you, please, to try, it does something. You realize you're going to be doing this fasting. You're going to do it. So I made a plan. I talked to my wife. And I prefaced this Wednesday night by saying, fasting is something that you need to check with your doctor, especially if you have any physical conditions. I'm not up here promoting all of us go on a 40-day fast of water or anything like that. You need to talk to Jesus. You need to find out what he wants you to do. But I can guarantee that there's somebody in the sound of my voice that he's been talking to you about doing this. And you've been dragging your feet. And a dear friend of mine was telling me when I was talking to them about this fasting, about the struggle that I've been having with it, with even starting it. They said, most likely, there's something in front of you that God wants to prepare you for. There's a battle in front of you. And you need to do this now to get ready for that. And I cannot tell you how prophetic those words were. You know, without going into a lot of details, this week, my wife and I found out about, you know, we went to a doctor's office and found out some things that for somebody in the world, I mean, their knees would buckle. And here I am in the middle of this fasting time. And it's one of those situations that you can either fold up your tent and go hide and just watch the devastation, or you can stand up and fight. You hear what I'm saying? You have to stand up and you have to fight. There's no folding up. There's no running. There's no hiding. You're not going to hide from the devil. You know, there are times that I think we as Christians, we feel like, I'm just going to time out. Time out just for a little bit. I'm going to go rest on the sidelines for a little while. There's no sidelines to rest on. You know, you can't go and rest. You can't say, okay, devil, time out. I need a break. Okay, stop hitting me for a while. It doesn't work that way. And just when you least expect it, he's going to come at you to destroy you. He's not trying to just hurt you. He's trying to destroy you. So we need to have a more militant perspective. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us, as soldiers. You know, there are numerous times that Paul talks about this, where he mentions, even in Philippians 2:25, and we're going to go through Philippians a little bit. And he talks about fellow soldier. Another scripture in 2 Timothy, and you can just mark this, chapter 2, verse 3. Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Endure hardness. This is not going to be a cakewalk. This is going to be a fight. In the midst of all of this fighting, though, there's joy. And that's the title of the message, The Life of Joy. In the midst of all of this fighting, there has to be some joy here. And joy is not contingent upon what your present circumstances are telling you. Because your present circumstances may be screaming that everything is going to end tomorrow. Your world is over tomorrow. But out of your new nature, out of your born again new nature, there's going to come joy, peace, love. And the example that I'm using for this is the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church. Paul wrote this during imprisonment in Rome. As I told you the other night, we have chapter and verse that tells Paul that he's going to prison, or that he's going to Rome. He knows this. And the chapter and verse is Acts chapter 23, verse 11. You can turn there very quickly. We're going to look at two of those verses. Acts 23, 11. "The Lord stood by him," Paul, "and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And if you want to flip over to Acts 27:23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all these men that sail with thee." So Paul knew that his path was going towards Rome. He knew this. So when he's there and he's in prison, it's not a surprise to him. He knows this is the path that I've walked on. This is the leadership of God that has brought me to this place. Where you're at right now, if you have been following the leadership of the Holy Ghost, I admonish you, hold on. Hold on to the fact that God has brought you to the place that you're at. You may say, But Mark, it's hard. It's not easy. It's uncomfortable. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He never told us it would be easy. But He said He would be with us. He has given us the victory already. What we need to do is to put ourselves in a position that we're able to put this flesh under, and we can live out of this new nature that He's given us, where the joy can come forth, where we can have a little bit of joy in some of the hell that we're living in. Can I hear an amen? Dear God, I want to have something. I want to have some joy here. It cannot just be drudgery going from one battle to the next. I want to know that in the midst of this battle, I have joy coming forth. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens because you have put enough of yourself to death, enough of self to death, in order for this joy to come forth. And I'm telling you, in the days and the weeks and the months that we're faced with, we have got to have a little joy. And the only way we're going to have it is not by accident. We're not going to wake up one morning and all of a sudden, oh, there's the joy of the Lord. It's my strength. It is your strength, but it doesn't happen by accident. It happens by purpose. It happens because you've made the commitment to have it developed in you. We've all seen Pastor Dave talking about the sealing of our flesh. We get up so far and we're sealing by it. The frustration is enormous. We see things in our lives we don't like. We want them to change. But we live here. And all the while, God wants us rising above it. And just like Pastor Dave does, dancing on that flesh. It only happens one way, because you've attacked the flesh. I can't remember which other minister was who said it, but you're feeding your outer man into your inner man when you fast. And I said this the other night. There's the microwave fasting and the slow cook fasting. The microwave fasting, look, if you have the inner fortitude and your body is in the shape that they can handle it, and you want to do a 40-day water fast, you go right ahead and do it. Of course, you've checked with your doctor and all of that. Myself, I'm a slow cooker. I listened to the Holy Ghost. I found out what I could do with the kind of job that I have right now, which is very physical. And He helped me. And He has given me, and I cannot emphasize this enough, He has given me some kind of grace. Some kind of grace to do this. And to do my job. And to not lose my mind. So, what we want to look at, let's go back to Philippians. So here's Paul in prison. Not a pleasant place. He knows that he has been led here by the Holy Ghost. In Philippians chapter 1, he makes this statement. And I said this the other night. A while back, the Holy Ghost had instructed me, I want you to meditate. I want you to get Philippians inside of you. And now I know why. In verse 4. Now follow this. This is so important. I didn't emphasize this enough the other night. Paul's writing this to the church at Philippi. Paul is telling them, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. You know, I've read through this 30 plus times now. Nowhere in this letter does Paul fuss, complain, speak badly against the Romans. None of that. How many of us in the same circumstance would start a letter out by saying, in every prayer of mine for you? No, we would start that out. Please send me help. Please help me. I'm in prison. Think about this, people. He's in prison and he's praying for someone else. In his letter, he's praying for other people. He's telling them, I'm praying for you. My heart, because I have, and this tells you right here, this tells you the level of mortification the man is at. He's died to self. He's not worried about himself. His heart is for those people. His joy is in their success. We can use this right here as a measuring, as a measurement for ourselves. Where are we at? What would we write in that same circumstance? I'm praying for you. Don't even mention the fact I'm in prison. Don't even mention the fact that I'm standing here waist deep in dung. Don't talk about that. I'm concerned. I'm praying for you. My joy is in your success. I want you to grab hold of that. Because that's the life that God has called us to. Not about ourselves. God wants us to live a wonderful life. He doesn't want us to always be in lack and in need. But that's not the focus of our attention. And our problem has been that the devil will bring that to the focus, to the forefront of our minds, and we focus on that and we lose sight of the fact that that's not what we're... That's not why we're here. I lose sight of that. It's not why we're here. There's a world going to hell. And he's put us here to stop that. So Paul's in prison and he's writing to them and he's telling them not about how horrible things are, but I'm praying for you. I have joy for you. You're going to succeed. And look in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm confident. I have confidence that you are going to succeed. Now look down a little bit further. Verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He's in prison. And what is he saying? I'm here, and here is the reason that I'm here. Here is the reason that I'm here. Do you know how many times I read that and didn't see that? Here's the reason. The reason that I'm here is the furtherance of the gospel. That's our objective anyway. The furtherance of the gospel. So if your path that he has for you includes something that's not comfortable, the question that I have is, are you ready to deal with that? And some of you might think, well, I don't ever want to do that. That's fine. You know what you're going to risk? You're going to lose that portion of the reward that has been set aside for you for following that plan. That's what's at risk. And it really isn't fine. You know how long eternity is? Eternity is forever. And the decisions that you make today are going to influence your eternity. How many of us, and this was another thing that came to me while putting Soda Pop on the shelf. How many of you today would raise your hands and say, Mark, I have some regrets for some of the things that I did in life? Oh yeah, my goodness, all of us do. especially in our younger years when we don't know anything. But we can change that now because we're still on this earth. We can change that. We have an opportunity to go in a different direction now because we're still here. There will be a time when you can't change it. Whatever is done is done. Once you leave here, once you check out of this earth, there's no changing. Your life is set. The die has been cast. It's over with. I am so wanting you to get this, that your decisions right now, what you're going to do to get ready for what's about to happen to us. And I say us because I think that it's going to be affecting a lot of us. I think that there are some storms ahead for us that right now, today, we're not ready for. We're not ready for them. But we have an opportunity to get ready. Not just because this is the first part of the year and this is the part of the year where generally this church has a tradition of fasting. Not because of that, but because there's something in the forefront. And I'm speaking this by the Holy Ghost. There's something in front of us. Get ready. Fast. Paul also said, I speak in tongues more than you all. So we know it wasn't just fasting. He had a lifestyle. He had a relationship. You see, all of the times of praying, it's like Pastor Dave says, God doesn't commune with that fraction of time that we're praying. It's the change that results as a result of that praying in tongues, those hours and that fasting. That's what God fellowships with. And I want you to know that we've got to get that relationship as strong as we can possibly get it. For myself, with this fasting that I'm doing right now, He's not put an end date to it. I was kind of in hopes that when the end of this month rolled around, it was time to eat again. But unfortunately, it's whosoever vantage point you're looking from, He's instructed me the next phase of fasting. And He wants to do the same thing for you. You know, you think about the words that we read there in 2 Corinthians where it said fastings often, not every once in a while or infrequently. He did fastings often. We read this letter. How many times did we read this letter and we think, well, that must have been written in some monastery by Paul sitting there in some separated life, separated from the world, separated from all of the things that the world could do to us. No, this letter was written from the front lines. Grab hold of that. He was on the front lines of this battle and penned this letter, not from some monastery where you're separated and you don't feel the pain of the beatings, but right in the midst of it, he pens this letter. He gives this letter to be written and sent to the Philippian church. He's in the midst of the struggle, but he is not struggling. He has joy, and he says it numerous times. And I want you to look at chapter 2. Let me back up here for a second. In chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, This is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in this flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. This is not a man who is concerned whatsoever with what his captors are going to do to him. He sounds like he's the one in control here. He's the one dictating his future. He's the one deciding, if I stay here, it's my choice. If I leave, I'd rather leave. I'd rather be with Jesus right now. But because of you, I'm going to have to stay here. I'd rather be with Jesus, but I'm going to stay here. This is a person who has died to himself to the point, where's the fear at? My goodness. How many of us are just afraid of everything? And here is someone, there's no fear. I'm in control of this situation. And I will decide when I live and when I die. And I'm not ready to die yet. You need to grab that. Some of you are going to need that in the future. I'm not ready to die yet. I'm ready to live. And I'm going to stay here. And I'm going to fulfill the call that I have. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You're very quiet today. Okay, let's look at chapter 2. Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord and one mind. Here's what he's telling them. I want you to think the same way that I think. I want you to have this mind that I have. I want it in you. I want you to walk the same way that I'm walking. This is not the walk that's just for a few people. Or just for a few people that stand up here and preach. He's saying this to the whole church at Philippi. He's saying, walk as I walk. And here is the walk. Look down a little further. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is the mind that Paul is telling the Philippian church we need to have. We need to die. And we need to pick up the cross that has our name on it. And we need to carry that cross. Because according to what I'm reading here from Paul, this is where the joy is. This is where the fulfillment of life is. Because I'm going to be like-minded. I see what you're saying, Paul. I'm going to have the same mind that you have, which was also in my Lord Jesus, my example, the one that was set before me as an example, who laid down his life. I lay down my life. I'm going to do the things that are not comfortable. That are not comfortable. Because I want to die to self so that the life of Christ that's in me can come forward. I want to die to self. The other day when I was making the first set of notes for this, I wrote this down. We think that we're living a particular way. I think we're self-deceived. We think we are. But if we're not doing this message, if we're not fasting, if we're not meditating, if we're not praying, if we're not spending time alone in fellowship with Him, we are self-deceived. You can think you're one way, but you only are that way when you do this. Otherwise, you're self-deceived. Because we come to this wonderful place and we listen to a man he's way up the road from us. We can be self-deceived into living on the revelation that this man extracts out of the Word, and we can think that we're doing what he's talking about. If we're not physically doing it, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. Can I hear an amen? It's only when you spend the time. It's only when you skip the meal. It's only when you sit there for hours. And if you are not doing it, you will not be changed. And you can come here the rest of your life and you can listen to revelation knowledge handed to you on a plate. And you can eat it as a child. But I will warn you that in the time that's coming, if you aren't doing this, you won't last the pressure. The pressure will become too great. The pressure to fold your tent up will become too great. So I implore you, make the schedule that Gary tells us to make. Make it. And then do the schedule. Whether it's praying, whether it's fasting, whether it's meditating the Word. And this, yes Lord, this just came to me. Some of you are sitting there saying right now, I would read the Word, but I want to read the Word, but I can't. And I've lived there. I know exactly what you're saying. When you sit there and you open your Bible and you sit and look at those words, it takes every ounce of your strength to read that. It's just the devil working on your flesh. He is camped out on your emotions right now. And I'm giving you, by the Holy Ghost, the answer to break that. But you have to be the one willing to do it, to break it. Because that's not going to change. You're not just going to one day wake up and open your Bible and it's going to be a pleasure to read it again. Forget it. If he's camped out there, he plans to stay there. It's you that's going to have to be militant and drive him out. Get this thought out of your mind. I'm going to come up to the prayer line and one day finally I'm going to have hands laid on me and the anointing is going to change all of that. Amen? The anointing is not going to change your will. Amen? You do what you want to do. And if you don't want to change bad enough, you won't. I know there are times that the attacks are so bad. And we come up here and we stand on this green line. Because God, I just need help now. And this is what God is saying. This is not the answer for every problem in your life. The answer is you getting in and you changing. Can I hear an amen? If you have a problem, if that battle is so intense that you just can't stand it, by all means, come up here. Let the man of God lay his hands on you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon you and break that. But even then, listen to me, even then, when you walk out those doors, do not think that that's the total answer. You can walk out those doors, and if you don't do anything, it's only a matter of time, and it's going to be right back on you. Now, my wife and I have been going here for almost 3 years now. We've been associated with this message much longer than that, but 3 years we've physically lived here. So it's given me some opportunities to watch. I didn't come here with the idea of ever preaching. But I came here and I sat and I watched. Can I tell you, just from a factual standpoint of what I see, and I say this, I say it with fear and trembling, with all humility, I see a lot of you in the same faces coming to this green line week after week. What does it tell me? It tells me that some things are going to have to change in your lives. If you can't pray, if you just say, I can't, I try, Mark, I sit there, and I try, and I try, I can't do it. And I try to read and I can't read. Well, praise God. Praise God. Because if you can't do any of that other stuff, you can sit there and you cannot eat. What did Pastor Dave tell us? I want you to remember. What did he say? He told us, when every devil seemed like he was camped on his emotions and he couldn't do anything else, what did he do? He fasted. What did he say he started doing? I laid there on the bed. I just didn't eat. I watched the TV, but I didn't eat. What did he do? He told Rosalie, he made a promise to Rosalie, I'm not going to eat while you're gone. He said he was not going to eat. Then she was going to go out of the country. And he said, well, you know, this is going to be hard. I don't think I can do this. And she would not let him out of it. And he said, eventually the breakthrough came. And aren't we glad today that he paid the price? Aren't we glad? Oh, my goodness. The lives around this world that have changed because he paid the price. And this is my word to you. What lives are supposed to be changed because you do what you're supposed to do? What history needs to be written? Because you laid down your life. Yeah, I'm speaking this as much for me as for you. Because there are times I've seen glimpses of what God has for me. And it's scary. And I think, well, maybe it's for somebody else to do. No, it's for me to do. I'm the one that has that life to live. I'm the one that has those lives to influence. It's my responsibility. And that's what it's all about. Responsibility. Responsibility for dying to self. Responsibility for doing this and being changed. I'm not responsible. And this is where I had my biggest problem since I've been saved. I got saved in 1989. My biggest problem has been thinking that, knowing that I was called all the time, knowing there's a calling there, but thinking that I had to be the one to propel myself into ministry. Put the cart in front of the horse. 10 years down the line, finally said, this isn't working. 10 years. Not 2 weeks. 10 years. Yeah, we had some success along the way. Because whatever God can do to get involved, He will. With whatever change we had managed to accomplish in us, He was able to use that and work through that. Yeah, we saw some lives change. Praise God for it. But He wanted me to start with me. 10 years before then. And you know what He kept bringing me to? And this is a testimony of this message. Do you know the message that He continually brought me back to was this message? This one. Geographically, we weren't even close to Tulsa, Oklahoma. When I first heard this message, I had just gotten saved. I was living in South Bend, Indiana. I opened the phone book. Here I am. I'm just so green as a Christian. A few weeks old in the Lord. Open the phone book. Okay, where do I go to church? Show me, Lord. The smallest print. I want you to go to that one. I asked one of my coworkers. He said, oh, that's not a good neighborhood. You shouldn't go there. So I went to that church. House of the Holy Spirit Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The minister, a Rhema graduate. Guess who gave me my first Dave Roberson tape? Do you think God has a plan? Looked in the phone book, found that church, and got that tape. And this was the introduction that I had. This guy, this Dave Roberson, he fasted 40 days. Oh my gosh. At that time, it was like, oh my gosh, he must be crazy. But then he went to India and people's mouths were filled with gold. That was my introduction. I never turned loose since. In all these years, when I couldn't get a tape in the early 90s, God would cross my path with someone else who would put a tape in my hands of Dave Roberson. I'm not kidding you. Years would go by, and in 1998, we were in a large church in South Florida where we lived. And I walked by a pew, and I looked, and there was the name, Dave Roberson Ministries, on a newsletter. On a newsletter. I grabbed that like it was gold. Because I had been praying in tongues. I can't say it was consistently all those years. But I was praying in tongues and doing the message to the best of my ability at that point. And I grabbed hold of that. On the back it had prayer requests. I wrote a whole page out. Sent it to the ministry. And I'm not saying this is going to happen to anyone else. It happened to me. Tim Stemple called me. Out of the blue. Had no idea who I was, but I had a prayer request. Called me. And he said, Dave Roberson is going to be in Immokalee, Florida. At Bronc Flint's church. You need to be there. He didn't know me from Adam. But the Holy Ghost knew me. And the Holy Ghost spoke to him. 3-hour drive. We lived in West Palm Beach. Immokalee, Florida was 3 hours away. That became our church. I'd like to drive 3 hours to go to church. So what am I saying to you in closing today? What I'm saying is, I just described to you a path that I've been walking on that's brought me here today. And there's a path, and this path I'm going to continue on. is going to have some times of discomfort in front of me. I know that. I know part of those times of discomfort are happening right now. In the natural, it's not easy. But for you, get ready, please. Hear what I'm saying. He had me come here to say this message, to give this second part of this message for a reason. Get ready. Do what you need to do. Don't just hear it and be a hearer and not a doer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, to the best of my ability, I've delivered this message. And now, I know what the enemy would try to do is try to steal these words from their minds, get them out the door, get them on their way, doing the affairs of life, and completely forget about this. But God, sear this into their conscience. That when they're away from here, my words, your words through my mouth, will go off on the inside of them. And they'll make that decision. They'll make the decision not just to hear, but to do. And they'll have joy. The joy of the Lord will truly be their strength. In Jesus' name. Amen.